Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on fluoride fantasy when we come back. You know, when you're making about $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes, and then you pay an additional 17% income tax on that same $50,000. Now, that's another $8,500. And you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%. It's not the 15.3% advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967 and help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law, and it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. That number again is 417-273-4967. Now, tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about this thing of fluoride. Fluoride and the various diseases or side effects that it has. So far, we're at Down's syndrome, bone cancer, blotched teeth, tooth decay, IQ deficiency, kidney damage, lead in the blood, lesions to the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, and smell sensory disorders. 14 in all. And that's so far. We haven't got into it hot and heavy yet. But let's take a look here at an additional and less well-studied concern concerning fluoride is the interaction of the fluoride compounds added to water with other water additives. Most studies examining the addition of fluoride to water have used sodium fluoride. However, most communities use the less expensive forms such as silicofluoride, hydrofluorosilic acid, or sodium silicofluoride. A 1999 study of 280,000 Massachusetts children showed that levels of lead in the blood were significantly higher than in communities using these cheaper compounds than in towns where sodium fluoride was used or where the water was not treated with fluoride at all. Children's Health and the Environment, 17th International Neurotoxicology Conference in Little Rock, Arkansas, done on October the 17th through the 20th, 1999. Aluminum compounds are frequently added to the water supply as clarifying agents. Now, on its own, aluminum is not readily absorbed by the body. However, when fluoride is present, the two form a compound called aluminum fluoride, which is easily absorbed. A long-term study published in 1988 found that even low levels of aluminum fluoride in drinking water delivered more aluminum to the brain than concentrated aluminum fluoride. The same study found that low levels of aluminum fluoride and sodium fluoride found in optimally fluoridated water caused severe kidney damage and lesions to the brain similar to those found in Alzheimer's patients and other forms of dementia. Dr. Robert Isaacson, State University of New York, found that when aluminum fluoride is added to the food of rats, the rats developed short-term memory problems, smell sensory loss, and other characteristics of Alzheimer's disease. That comes from a study called Isaacson R. Rat Studies Link Brain Cell Damage with Aluminum and Fluoride in Water. So what are the typical thyroid-specific concerns? Well, is fluoride in part the reason for near-epidemic levels of hypothyroidism in the United States? Some experts and researchers believe that this is the case. I'm going to write that down, hypothyroidism. I'm running a tab here, keeping track of the various studies done. You know, 500 studies by various and sundry specialties or specialists, some of them medical doctors, some of them PhDs, some of them researchers. These are the guys walking around in white coats that don't have anything constructive or intelligent to do in life except to research. And last time I mentioned the breeding habits or the mating habits of Kentucky bullfrogs, but it doesn't make any difference whether you're studying fluoride or whales or breeding habits of bullfrogs, or we're looking at fluoride, Alzheimer's disease, or whatever it happens to be. Your tax dollars are at work here, and they're answering vital questions. Now, they started off by convincing you that fluoride in your water was a good plan, and we bought into that good plan. Now, we're spending our tax dollars to find out what it was that we should have found out before we bought into the fluoride plan and didn't. And that is that there are a number of side effects that come from fluoride in the water. The primary problem with fluoride is death. That's number one. Primary problem with fluoride is that it causes death, premature death. I don't mind dying, but I'd like to die at 110 of old age with my shoes off in bed when I'm sound asleep. That's when I want to go, and that's the way I want to go. So is fluoride in part the reason for the near epidemic levels of hypothyroidism? Well, fluoride had been used for decades as an effective anti-thyroid medication to treat hyperthyroidism and was frequently used at levels below the current optimal intake of 1 microgram a day. And this is due to the ability of fluoride to mimic the action of thyrotropin, TSH. It makes sense, then, that out of the over 150 symptoms and associations of hypothyroidism, almost all are also symptoms of fluoride poisoning. So I'm going to put that down here. There are 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning. Now, if I understand this correctly, you could come up with a symptom, and you could go to your doctor and say, gee, doc, I'm having a problem here with headache. Or another person could come in and say, gee, I'm having this problem over here. I can't sleep at night. Another guy might come in and say, well, gee, doc, I've got this problem. And whatever the problem is, there's 150 problems that have been associated with fluoride poisoning. 500 studies have been made over the last 50 years. That's about 10 a year. 3 studies were done back in the mid-1940s, 1945 and 1947. That's what sold us fluoride. Since then, 500 studies have come along and said, okay, well, now that you got fluoride in your drinking water, here's what it's doing with you and doing to you, and here are the symptoms associated with it. Let's run through these again. Down's syndrome, bone cancer, tooth decay, blotched teeth, IQ deficiency, kidney damage. And then we have lead in the blood, lesions to the brain, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, memory loss, smell sensory disorders, hypothyroidism, and 150 other symptoms of fluoride poisoning. How do you like that? Hey, let's hear it for fluoride. If a little bit's good, if 1 part per million is good, 2 parts per million would have to be twice as good, wouldn't it? Now, are you going to say to me, well, wait a minute, too much of a good thing is too much? It's my contention that if a little bit of lead would be harmless, twice as much lead couldn't hurt much more. How much of a toxic substance should we be ingesting in our bodies? Now, I think everybody's familiar with cigarettes and the toxic effects that cigarettes have and the secondhand smoke and all the rest of it. Now, I used to smoke for 9 years, and I enjoyed every puff. I thought smoking was the greatest thing since sliced white bread, and if God made anything better than a tobacco plant, he kept it for himself. But after having smoked for a while, and then after having researched it a little, and I looked into the consequences of this thing called smoking, I said, you know, I don't think this smoking is good for me. I can't speak for the other several million smokers out there. I don't know what's good for them. And maybe they don't know either. But I came to the conclusion that smoking was not good for me, so I quit. Now, I've come to the conclusion that fluoride is not good for me, so I'm going to avoid fluoride like I avoid Flo's girls. I figured that Flo's whorehouse wasn't good for me, smoking wasn't good for me, my drinking probably wasn't any big help to me either, and fluoride wasn't helping any of it. And that's the beginning of it. And then there's a lot of other things out there that are causing problems to our health. You know, we have a nation of sick people in this country, as evidenced by the fact that 82% of us now are on drugs. Did you know that? 82% of the people of America. How many people is that? Let's take 300 times 0.82. That's 246 million Americans are taking one prescription drug. I thought that was pretty significant. You know, if you've got a society of people that are drug addicts, that's hardly the stuff of great nations, empires, and civilizations. And then when you get to be 65 or older, the average goes up pretty dramatically from 1, that's the general population, that's everybody in the country, is on 1 prescription medication. And when you get to be 65, the average jumps up to 6. 6 prescription medications. Then in addition to that, we put fluoride and chlorine in our water. And then we sit here and wonder, what in the hell's wrong with us that we're getting all these diseases, and why is it that we're so sick? Well, okay, kids. Like I said, if a little bit of fluoride's good, twice as much has got to be twice as good. Or if one part per million is good for you, 2 parts per million ought to be twice as good. Now, from my point of view, I'm going to see if I can avoid that 1 part per million. Now, fluoride had been used for decades as an effective anti-thyroid medication to treat hyperthyroidism. And now we find out that it causes, or is associated with, over 150 symptoms and associations of hypothyroidism. And almost all are also symptoms of fluoride poisoning. Now, researcher and advocate Andreas Schuld, spelled S-C-H-U-L-D, has also found that excess of fluoride correlates with other thyroid-related issues, such as iodine deficiency. Oh, my God. Iodine deficiency. I think I mentioned that to you last time. Remember, we put this iodine in our salt because we have an iodine deficiency? Do you suppose that the iodine deficiency is caused by the fluoride poisoning? Which then causes goiter, which is why we have to put the iodine in our salt? Fluoride and iodine, both being members of the halogens group of atoms, have an antagonistic relationship. When there is excess of fluoride in the body, it can interfere with the function of the thyroid gland. It is possible that iodine deficiency, which is the most common cause of brain damage and mental disability in the world, could be lessened by simply cutting back on the use of fluoride. Oh my God. Instead of one part per million, we'd put in one part per 2 million. Cut it in half. Well, if cutting it in half would solve that thyroid problem, what would happen if you eliminated it altogether? I know these are bold steps and wild new concepts, but, you know, what would happen if you just eliminated fluoride altogether? What on earth would happen? Well, it would eliminate those 150 symptoms that you see associated with hypothyroidism. And then you'd see less Down syndrome, less bone cancer. Certainly you wouldn't see no Down syndrome or no bone cancer, but you'd see less of it. You'd have less tooth decay. You'd have less blotched teeth. You'd have less IQ deficiency, less liver damage, less lead in the blood, less lesions to the brain, less Alzheimer's disease, less dementia, less memory loss, less smell sensory disorders, and less hypothyroidism causing those 150 symptoms of fluoride poisoning in that class or group of people. That tells me less or no fluoride would do all of those things, and that sounds pretty beneficial to me. In fact, that list that I just read to you, that's what I want to buy. That's what I'm looking for, and that's why I left the city, moved to the country where I've got clean water. That's number one. I want clean water. Now I need clean air. Then I need clean soil so that I can grow clean, healthful, nutritious food so that I can eat that clean, healthful, nutritious food and avoid sickness and disease. I don't have any health insurance. I can't afford to live in the city. If I lived in the city, I would have to have health insurance. In fact, for all of you people that are living in the city, drinking fluoridated water, I would recommend health insurance. I think you need it. So $10,000 a year isn't an outrageous price to pay for the health insurance that you're going to need for the poisons that you're ingesting into your body, fluoride being chief among them. Now, the other side of the coin is if you stopped poisoning yourselves, you might not need as much health insurance. That was the conclusion that I came to years ago when we were spending about $8,000 or $9,000 a year on health insurance. It's up to 12 now. I saw some new numbers came in. $12,000 a year for health insurance. Family of four, $12,000 a year. Now, the median average income is $48,000 a year, so that means that you got to spend 25% of everything you create and produce before taxes on health insurance because you're poisoning yourself. You know, this is almost like a drunk, you know, beating his head against the wall, and he says, oh, my God, this is really going to feel good when I sober up and quit beating my head against the wall. Has it ever occurred to us that disease is caused by two primary functions? Two. You're either poisoning yourself, toxicity, or you're starving yourself, nutritional deficiency. So if you don't have enough iodine in your system, for instance, you'll develop a goiter. That's a symptom of a lack of iodine. You know, and if you don't have enough vitamin C, you get scurvy. That's a symptom. Scurvy is the symptom of vitamin C deficiency. And you don't have to be real smart to put this cause and effect together. So just carried out to its logical conclusion, if you've got a symptom, migraine headaches, you know, your carpal tunnel syndrome or something else, there has to be a cause to produce that effect. And for your diseases and maladies, the causes are either one, you're toxic, you're poisoning yourself, or two, you're starving yourself, or three, there's a combination of the poison and starvation going on in your body. If you could eliminate that, you could restore optimum or good health. You're going to have a problem accomplishing that good health prognosis or scenario as long as you continue to poison yourself. It's kind of like the guy that's smoking, you know, he smokes, and he hacks and coughs, and he smokes, and he's always looking for a brand of cigarettes that doesn't aggravate his hacking cough. It never occurs to this guy to quit smoking. Never occurs to him. I know, I smoked for 9 years. Never occurred to me to stop smoking. I kept changing brands. But that was in the days before I had any good sense. That was before I turned 21. Now there's a little bit more about this thyroid disease, hidden danger in your drinking water and toothpaste. Now, not only are you getting it out of the faucet, you're also buying it across the counter. I happened to be in a store the other day looking for some toothpaste. And I couldn't find a single brand of toothpaste in the supermarket that didn't have fluoride on it. I don't know how many I looked at, 10, 15, 20 brands. How many brands of toothpaste is there in the supermarket? I guess I should have written them down, or I should have taken careful notes, but I just noted this. I couldn't find a single brand that did not have fluoride in it. needless to say, I didn't buy any toothpaste there. You can buy a brand of toothpaste called Tom's toothpaste at a health food store without fluoride in it. It is possible to buy toothpaste without fluoride. But I got to thinking about that, you know, in all the years that I've been in the cattle business, I've never had any of my cows, horses, or sheep that have brushed their teeth. If my cows are out there brushing their teeth, they're certainly keeping it hidden from me. I haven't seen it. But I noticed that when I went to the dentist was constantly telling me, said, you need to brush your teeth 3 times a day. So when I was a young fellow, I brushed my teeth 3 times a day. And I'd go to the dentist twice a year. And then every time I went to the dentist, I had 1 or 2 cavities. Well, let's see how many that is. Every time. I can't ever remember going to a dentist that I didn't have 1 or 2 cavities. Now, maybe I did, because, you know, if you go there twice, that's 2 cavities a year. And you do this for 40 years, it's 80 cavities. Isn't it? Well, and that's if you just have 2 a year, 1 every 6 months. So I took a look at this, and I said, gee, I brush my teeth 3 times a day. My teeth are rotting out of my head. My cows over here aren't brushing their teeth at all, and they don't have a single cavity. So I came to this conclusion. I concluded that brushing your teeth does not prevent cavities. Although I could not say with specificity that brushing your teeth did cause cavities, I was highly suspicious because my cows, having never brushed their teeth, never got a cavity, and me brushing my teeth got cavities. So I wouldn't go so far as to say that brushing your teeth causes cavities, but I can definitely tell you from my personal experience, brushing your teeth won't prevent cavities. And I've made this observation also, and so have many of these scientists studying fluoride, that while we wouldn't go so far as to say conclusively that fluoride causes cavities, we can definitely say that fluoride does not prevent cavities. And there are no studies that show that fluoride does prevent any cavities, and studies indicate that it may actually cause cavities. Just like brushing your teeth may actually cause cavities. I don't know that positively, but it could. It could. So some advocates believe that the truth about fluoride does not reach the public easily because fluoride, produced as a toxic waste byproduct of many types of heavy industry, such as aluminum, steel, fertilizer, glass, cement, and other industries, must be disposed of somewhere. I mean, you know, you got this toxic waste. We got to do something with it. And if it's not used as an additive to water, manufacturers would have to pay millions of dollars to dispose of it properly in toxic hazard sites or dumps. So the pressure to keep fluoride listed as a healthy additive to water and not as an environmental toxin that requires costly disposal is great, and political pressures to keep fluoride in the drinking water is very strong. It's the political pressure that keeps fluoride in your drinking water. So it's the politicians and the big businesses that keep fluoride in your drinking water. It isn't that you personally want it now, is it? I mean, let's test this. Let's suppose that you live in Austin, Texas, or Houston, or Los Angeles, or some big city, and your city council passes a resolution. They say, we're going to abandon fluoride in the drinking water. We're going to take drinking water out. We're going to take the fluoride out of your drinking water. We want all of your teeth to rot out of your kids' heads. And would this motivate you then? Would this get you to go down and vote? Would this motivate you to march on City Hall? Would you get real upset and excited, jump up and down, paw the ground, bite the bushes, and do something radical to keep fluoride in your drinking water? Or would you just kind of pass it off and say, well, you know, I don't know, maybe. I think I'd jump up and down and shout for joy, but then, you know, I'm an oddball. You know, honest to God, I don't think that the average Joe Sixpack or Sally Housewife out there gives a rat's rectum one way or the other concerning fluoride. I don't think anybody knows enough about it to have an opinion. You probably believe it's good for you, but then where'd you get that opinion that it was good for you? Well, you got that from the people that are very interested in, the people that really want it. Now, I would imagine that if somebody made that proposal and got real serious with your city council, I mean, you'd have studies, you'd have professionals having a hissy fit, you'd have dentists and doctors, and you'd have industrialists and people with letters after their name testifying before the city council and writing letters to the editor. I mean, you'd have a brouhaha that would never quit. I mean, I don't think 10 million people in Los Angeles would give a rat's rectum one way or the other, but there'd be 150 lobbyists down there jumping up and down upon the ground, paying bribes, or doing whatever they have to do to keep fluoride in the water. The fluoride is going to stay in your water, whether you like it or not. That's a given. Whether you're going to continue drinking and bathing in that toxic brew is a decision that you're going to have to make, which is why I'm a reporter. I like to report on crazy things like this. Now, the U.S. government has been one of the key supporters for fluoridation. Now, I pause right there. Why is the U.S. government taking sides in the issue one way or the other? The U.S. government, President Bush, the Congress, the Republicans and Democrats, they are the movers and the shakers and the supporters of fluoride in your water. But why? What difference does it make to your representative? You know, I got a representative here here in Missouri, and he goes back to Washington, and he's a strong supporter of fluoride. And I got to ask, well, what's that all about? What's he trying to do, protect the American people again? What's he trying to do, protect me from terrorists? Hell, kids, I don't have a problem with Osama bin Laden. I don't have a problem with terrorists. I got a problem with my local representative putting poison in my damn water. That's where my problem is. Bin Laden hasn't been poisoning my water. But my local representative is. And I got to ask the question, what has he got against me? What is it about me, and what is it about all my neighbors that makes my representative, Roy Blunt, want to come in here and poison me? What did I do to him? Well, come to find out, I didn't do anything to him, and he really isn't opposed to me. He gets campaign contributions from the American Aluminum Association, or from the steel industry. I mean, there's some people out there that support him, and I don't. I never gave a dime to Roy Blunt's reelection campaign, and he hasn't forgotten that from that day to this. He knows that George Gordon does not support him for reelection. And so when the aluminum people come knocking at his door in Washington, they say, hey, we need more aluminum. So if we're going to have more aluminum, we're going to have more toxic waste. This toxic waste is called fluoride. We've got to have a place to put it, Roy. And we want to put it in the drinking water of George Gordon in Isabella, Missouri. And Roy says, well, where do I get my campaign contributions? He doesn't get a dime from George Gordon. He gets millions from Reynolds Aluminum. And so how is he going to vote the next time this subject matter comes up? What side of this fluoride issue is my Congressman Roy Blunt going to take? You know, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out. Hell, even us plumbers down here know how he's going to vote. So that's why that deal is the way it is. So here's the U.S. government has been one of the key supporters for fluoridation, despite the questions regarding fluoride's effectiveness and safety. Does Roy Blunt care about the effectiveness or the safety of fluoride? No, I don't think so. The administration stated federal health objective is to increase the number of Americans with fluoridated tap water from previous levels of 62% to 75% in the year 2000. And they want to move it up from 62% to 75%. Then when they get to 75, they want to move it to 85 or 90%. Then when they get 85 or 95% of us poisoned, they'll want to move it to 100%. I think it's a miracle that there's 38% of us that aren't being poisoned. That's very significant. And our federal government and Roy Blunt and the rest of the gang up there, they want to make sure that all of us get poisoned. It's kind of like contrails, you know. Now, given half a century of support for fluoridation, it's also not likely that the American Dental Association is going to backtrack on its support for fluoridation. Some cities are taking action, however, and making the decision to stop fluoridating their water supply or not to fluoridate it in the first place. For example, the City Council of Santa Barbara, California voted in late November of 1999 in favor of a resolution that disagrees with and rejects the state's recommendation to fluoridate the city's public water system. So with this action, Santa Barbara joined the California cities of Santa Cruz, El Cajon, La Mesa, Escondido, and Helix, Riverside, and Lakeside, those water districts that have each passed protective resolutions or ordinances in 1999. The cities of San Diego and Sunnyvale have ordinances prohibiting fluoridation that predate the state's law. The city officials of Santa Barbara indicated that adding a chemical to the water supply to medicate everyone was not the right approach and requested that the city's staff look into other programs to help children obtain fluoride for dental health. I like that. You know, if you want to give your kid fluoride, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. I believe in free choice. If you want to give your kid fluoride, I want you to get right after that, and you can get all the fluoride your kid can possibly use. In fact, right on the label of the toothpaste, it'll say, do not swallow this stuff. Brush your teeth with it, but don't swallow it. Hey, what's that tell you, kids? There's plenty of poison in that toothpaste. You don't need to poison your water supply. You can get all the poison you want right there in the local supermarket. And I would recommend that all you parents that want to fluoridate your kid's teeth, buy that stuff right over the counter. Take it home and poison your kid in the privacy of your own bathroom. And leave my kids and leave me out of the poisoning process. Could you do that? It's a wild new concept. Instead of all of you zealots out there trying to protect my teeth and my health, why don't you butt out of my business and leave me alone? And butt into your own business and poison yourself. I know, it's a wild new idea. And I like this idea. It came right out of the city of Santa Barbara, who said that they wanted the city staff to look into some other program to help children obtain fluoride for dental health. I suppose what they'll be proposing next is that the city or the state give subsidies to families with children to furnish them with fluoridated toothpaste at taxpayer expense so that I can buy the poison for their kids. But I'll tell you, I would rather do that than I would to have these zealots come along here poisoning my water and poisoning my food, poisoning my toothpaste. And I pointed this out. I think in the last program, I said, yeah, I went in there. I couldn't find a single brand of toothpaste in the supermarket. If there is a brand in the supermarket that isn't fluoridated, send me an email. Let me know what it is, would you? I couldn't find one. I must have looked at 15 or 20. I got started on there. First of all, the Pepsodent over there says, we've got fluoride. You know, great big bold letters, fluoride in the toothpaste. Then there's other toothpaste that don't have great big bold letters that they've got fluoride in it. But when you look at the ingredients, it's got fluoride. Some of them, you know, they're very pronounced about it. Boy, buy our brand. We got more fluoride than anybody else. Would you buy arsenic that way? You know, if there was arsenic in your spinach, would you, in big bold letters, fortified with arsenic? I don't know, kid. Somewhere or another, or somewhere along the line, we Americans have taken leave of our senses here, I would submit to you. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here. We're at the halfway point. Not the halfway point. I have to tell you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Otherwise, the FCC gets after us and they get mad at us and they say, well, now you're out here broadcasting and doing all these things over here and using bad words, and you got to give an account of yourself. So I'm going to do that. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the internet, and we're heard daily, 7 days a week. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, 8 schools in all. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. That means we don't discriminate against people because of your race, color, creed, or origin, racial origin. And we are open to individuals, that is you and everybody else, but by prearrangement. That means you can't knock on our door surreptitiously or by surprise. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on subjects of law, science, education, politics, and religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, and that's so that you can find out more about us. And then if you'd like to order one of those, you can do that by just calling the law school and asking for it. Simple enough. The number is 417-273-4967. That's, again, the area code 417-273-4967. The guy sent me a letter one day and says, why don't you put this up on your website? I said, well, if I put that up on my website, I would be telling you people a lot of things that you don't want to know, and I don't want to tell you. So if you're interested, you can send for it, and we'll give it to you free. And if you're not interested, then you don't send for it, and it doesn't cost me any money, and then I don't tell you something that you don't want to hear. Sometimes people get offended, you know, if you tell them something, and they get mad at you and write you nasty emails and nasty letters, and they say, well, you kooky SO, you know. All right, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend those books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements are recommendations that we give. That doesn't mean that these authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and editorial review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or they're economic, or they're sectarian, or they're racial, or they're ethnic partisans. And they don't share our viewpoint, and we don't necessarily share everything about their viewpoint, but we share some of their viewpoints, and that's why we endorse some of what these people have to say. And the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So don't blame them. Send your email here. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, back to fluoride. Fluoride fantasy. The only admission that you're ever likely to see is the 1997 edition of Warnings on Toothpaste Tubes. On your toothpaste tubes, they now say, don't swallow. My God, I can't believe that. It says, don't swallow on your toothpaste tube. If this toothpaste is good for you and healthful and nutritious and safe, why can't you swallow it? Because it's got a deadly neurotoxin called fluoride in it. That's why. Well, you know, that just tells you a whole bunch. You know, if somebody says don't swallow, you know, eat this peach, but don't swallow it. We want to sell this to you, but my God, don't ingest it. Boys and girls, not everything that I put in my mouth, you know, like Listerine, is necessarily mean I want to swallow it. But, you know, if I did swallow some of it, I don't want to read on the package over there, my God, don't swallow this. Well, why not? Why not? Use only a pea-sized amount for children under 6. Pea-sized amount. Pea-sized amount. I don't know what all these toothpaste manufacturers are coming to. They haven't got a lick of sense. They put this toxic poison into their toothpaste, and then you can only use a pea-sized amount. You know, if I was in the toothpaste business, I'd take the damn fluoride out of it and say, swallow this stuff. Cook this on your toothbrush from the bristles. Clear up the handle until it's halfway up to your elbow. Use as much toothpaste as you possibly can so that you run out of it sooner so that you'll come back and buy more of it. I don't know what the hell these toothpaste manufacturers are thinking about. You know, when we're selling breakfast cereal to kids, you know, we give them all the incentives in the world to eat more of it. But when it comes to toothpaste, we want to poison the toothpaste and then tell you don't swallow it. Just use a pea-sized amount for children under six. Hey, I thought this fluoride was good for our kids and that we were putting it in the water because we were concerned about their teeth, concerned about their health. How concerned can you be about your child's health to put a deadly toxic neuropoison or neurotoxin into your child's toothpaste and then tell him, well, we can't use very much toothpaste because this stuff is deadly poison? Why would you put deadly poison into your kid's mouth? Again, I got to ask the question, have we taken leave of our senses in this country? Have we gone stark raving mad? Either this stuff is innocuous, it's harmless, it's safe, it's effective, it's wonderful stuff, and you ought to have three times as much as you're using. Or it's a deadly toxic poison and it ought to be avoided, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Would you send your kid down to Flo's whorehouse and say, because this child needs sex education? I think most of us would sit there and say, no, I think we want to teach our children sex education, but we want to do it in a more wholesome and in a safer manner than sending the kid down here where he might be exposed to AIDS from a prostitute or from venereal disease or herpes or venereal warts or something like that. But you stick this poison in the toothpaste and then you stick it on your kid's toothbrush and you say, hey, brush your teeth, kid. I tell you, I think your kid would be safer in a whorehouse than down here at the supermarket buying Pepsi, for crying out loud. And I'm not advocating or advertising whorehouses as being a safe place. You won't catch me down at Flo's. I don't think Flo's is a very safe place, but then you won't catch me using very much fluoride either. Remember, the U.S. government has been one of the key supporters for fluoride. They're opposed to Hortum. They're opposed to Flo's whorehouse, and they won't license Flo's, but they'll license Procter & Gamble to turn out a deadly toxic neurotoxin and stick it in your toothpaste for crying out loud. And we call this sane, rational, normal. I don't know, kids. It says, don't swallow. Use only a pea-sized amount for children under six, and children under six should be supervised while brushing with any toothpaste to prevent swallowing. Hey, you know, I had kids, and I never had to stand over them, you know, and supervise them and say, hey, kid, don't swallow this toothpaste. I never bought anything that I thought was going to harm my kid. And I'm not opposed to brushing your teeth. You know, hey, listen, you know, hygiene is pretty good. I'm not opposed to sticking something sweet-smelling under your armpit, you know, if that's what you want to do to control the stink. But isn't there something more intelligent that we could stick under our armpits or stick in our mouths other than deadly poisons, you know, like aluminum or fluoride? Surely there's got to be somebody out there that manufactures something that'll make you smell good and won't kill you in the process, don't you think? In areas where the drinking water already contains fluoride, brushing more than once daily with more than a pea-sized amount of fluoridated toothpaste can cause fluorosis. If you want to avoid fluorosis, why don't you avoid brushing your teeth with fluoridated toothpaste? The discoloration and spotting of the teeth that affects an estimated 20% of children. Okay. Well, 20%, that's one in five. One child out of every five has this fluorosis. So let's trade dental cavities or caries for fluorosis. Huh? Why do we have to choose between fluorosis and rotten teeth? Isn't there a way that we can have sound, healthy teeth without fluorosis and without the toxic side effects of the fluoride? I mean, you know, that's a wild new idea, wild new concept, isn't it? And believe it or not, boys and girls, there was a time in America before fluoride when we didn't have fluoride and we didn't have rotten teeth and we didn't have fluorosis. Did you know that? There was a time in America we actually knew what caused tooth decay, and it's called bad diet, bad diet. Coca-Cola. That'll do it. CNH, pure white cane sugar. That'll do it. Now, of course, we want to drink Coke, and we want to eat sugar, but we don't want to get dental caries. That's like going down to Flo's, and you say, well, I'd like to go down to Flo's warehouse, but I don't want to get VD. So I'm going to practice safe sex with a condom. Safe sex. Safe sex. I don't know. It sounds like a virgin whore concept to me, but, you know, you can decide for yourself. Besides learning more about the effects of fluoride and getting involved in your community's decisions regarding water fluoridation, you can buy unfluoridated natural toothpaste such as Tom's of Maine, particularly for young children. That's what we buy, Tom's toothpaste of Maine, Tom's of Maine toothpaste. I don't know where it comes from. I imagine my wife buys it at the health food store. I don't know. I'm just a bull standing in the pasture chewing the cud, you know. I'm just like an old bull watching the heifers chewing the cud, waiting for opportunity to arise. And so I just open the cabinet, and there's the toothpaste, and it happens to be Tom's, and I assume it comes from the health food store. But I noticed on the Tom's label, it doesn't have any fluoride in it. And that's what we're after here. No fluoride. You can also pay attention to the water you drink and use filtered or bottled water. Some water filters can remove fluoride from the water, but carbon-based filters such as the Brita filter do not, Brita, B-R-I-T-A. So be sure to find the right type of filter for fluoride. Now, hey, maybe there's something to that. It may be that you could live in the city and put a filter on your water system and filter out the fluoride that's in your water. Maybe. I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just reading the article here. And this article, by the way, comes from thyroid.about.com. That's thyroid.about.com. Thyroid.about.com. And they've got a number of articles here on thyroid disease. Shucks. What else do they have to say? Thyroid disease was one. Bring back show and tell. Hidden danger in your drinking water and toothpaste. Yeah, they've got two or three articles here, and that was the concluding section on that article. Is fluoride a danger to your health and sanity? By Linda Page, MD and PhD. Now, MD means naturopathic doctor. For most of you people, that's a strange term, naturopathic doctor. That's called a physician. Luke, you know the guy that wrote that book in the Bible called Luke? You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, the physician, he was a naturopathic physician. Most of you people use allopathic physicians, druggists. You practice witchcraft. There's another type of physician called a naturopathic doctor or physician. He doesn't use drugs, crazy as that sounds. So when you get sick, this naturopathic doctor, Linda Page, she's not going to recommend that she shoot you up with penicillin, dehydrostreptomycin, or some other drug. No cortisone. I know it's nutso, but that's the way those guys work. And they can heal people without drugs. I know that's I know that sounds pretty crazy, healing people without drugs. And they concentrate on keeping you well. That is, you should not get sick to start with. Don't come in here if you're sick. And that's because sick people spread germs and disease and spread sickness, and you ought to avoid that if you possibly can. That's called quarantine. Quarantine comes from the Bible. Yeah, the Bible. And it's practiced in Cuba in relation to AIDS. And in fact, the Cubans have the lowest incidence of AIDS of any country in the world. Did you know that? Cuba. And they're practicing the biblical principle of quarantine. I know it's not accepted by the American Medical Association and allopathic medicine and doctors and all of the medicos and the Congress and the United States and the United Nations, and they have thoroughly castigated the Cubans. I don't have any use for the Cubans either, or Fidel Castro or communism, but I'm just pointing out that as dumb as those people are down there, they're practicing quarantine. It just goes to show you, if you practice the laws of God, you will get a good and beneficial result even if you're a communist. Isn't that amazing? Even a dumb communist can get good results by practicing the law of God. Imagine what Christians could do if they just get back to practicing the Ten Commandments. I know that's nigh on to what do they call that in religious circles when you get off point over here and they talk about they got a word for that, you know, you're blasphemy. I know that's blasphemy to a Christian to think, to consider, to even cogitate on obeying God and keeping His commandments. But anyway, getting back here to Linda Page, MD, take a deep breath because what I'm about to tell you is going to be a shock. Fluoride is an unnecessary toxic poison added to your food and water supply. No other substance deliberately added to food or water poses the health risks of fluoride. Notice the term, no other substance. Hell, she thinks that fluoride is worse than CNH, pure cane, sugar, and Coca-Cola combined. She said no other substance can do what fluoride does. Under the guise of health benefits. Was this woman stupid? What are you going to do? You're going to put on here, this product contains fluoride, a deadly neurotoxin guaranteed to kill you by age 38 or double your money back. I mean, come on, kids. You people may be ignorant and uninformed, but you're not stupid, so they're not going to put that on the label. I mean, we don't have any truth in packaging or truth in labeling going on in America. I mean, that's not going to be done in this country. But, you know, some of us are starting to get suspicious, especially when the cancer rate went from 1 in 33 in 1900 to 1 in 2 in 2000. I started to get suspicious that maybe the medicos and the food processors and the government over here didn't know what caused disease and didn't know what the hell to do about it. And then I asked a doctor one time, I said, do you know what causes cancer? And he said, nope. And I said, do you know how to cure it? And he said, nope. I've mentioned this a time or two. If you had a car that wasn't running good, you took it into your local mechanic, and you said, hey, Bob, do you know what's wrong with my car? And Bob says, no. Do you know how to fix it? No. But for $25 an hour, I'll work on it until you go broke. Would you take your car to a mechanic like that? No. You've got good common sense. Well, you wouldn't think of leaving your car with a mechanic that told you honestly, I don't know what's wrong with it and I don't know how to fix it, but for $25 an hour, I'll work on it until you run out of money. You'd say, well, that guy's stupid. Now, why do you go to a medical doctor that tells you, I don't know what causes cancer, don't know how to cure it, but for $100,000, I'll work on it until your insurance policy runs out or you go broke. And you people line up at the doctor's office to buy that service that you wouldn't buy from your mechanic, which isn't going to kill you, but that doctor's going to kill you. Now, here's a naturopathic doctor. She comes along and she says, under the guise of health benefits, fluoride is now present in most commercial toothpaste. It's regularly added to over 60% of our public drinking water. And as a health professional and human being, I'm outraged by the practice of mandatory water fluoridation and the addition of fluoride to toothpastes used regularly by children and adults. Now, here's one of these politicos. She's outraged that they're putting this fluoride into the water. I'm not outraged at all. I believe that if the people of Houston, Texas want fluoride in their water, they should have fluoride in their water. Who in the hell am I to tell the people of Los Angeles that they ought not to have fluoride in their water? You know, I'm a libertarian at heart, and I believe that people ought to have a right to choose. We ought to have freedom. And then I'm just grateful that I've got a right to choose. And I can choose not to put fluoride in my water. I have the Gordon Water Company here. I put my own water, and I got the Gordon Water Company, and the Gordon, I'm a great utilities baron over here, and I'm very careful over here to exclude fluoride from my water supply. So if you want to come here and drink my water, there's no fluoride in it. If you want fluoride in your water, go to Theodosia. They got fluoride over there, and I think the people of Theodosia should have fluoride in their water. This doctor, she's outraged that the people of Theodosia want fluoride in their water. I don't know why. She says, a new study shows fluoride increases absorption of aluminum from deodorants or pots and pans by over 600%. Now, that's six times. And the aluminum concentration in the brains of Alzheimer's patients is 15 times higher than in healthy individuals. The fluoride-aluminum combination spells disaster for your brain's health. Boys and girls, I'm not opposed to Alzheimer's disease, and I am not outraged by Alzheimer's disease. By God, if that's what you want to buy, I think you ought to buy it. I just don't think that you ought to impose it upon me. That's what I'm objecting to. Don't impose your fluoride on me. So when the people of Theodosia decided they wanted fluoride in their drinking water over there through their elected representatives, I said, let them have at it, but I'm not drinking Theodosia water. That's all. And I've got that choice, and so do you. I'll show you more about that next time when we do the Law Hour and editorial review, which you've been listening to, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're also heard 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. And remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up, so we've got to leave it right there. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about this fluoride thing. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.